Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Hey, our team was in Rocky Point, Mexico last week. 167 folks built four houses. Four families got houses last week. Yes. Not only that, they ministered to the moms and the children and gave them quilts, and 16 folks were baptized last weekend from our group. Yeah, great. A number of those folks were first time to Rocky Point. Now, part of the reason why a number of those folks were first timers is because a couple months ago, we did what we called the Red Envelope Challenge. Some of you were here. We asked you to take this red envelope. It had a challenge, and if you took the envelope, you had to do what it said. And some of those folks pulled the envelope that said, go to Rocky Point. And you know what was interesting? Was that almost every one of them had been always wanting to go, but just never got around to it. And they took the envelope and said, okay, I'll go. Maybe you're one of those people that have been saying, I want to go to Rocky Point someday. Go! Or we'll give you a red envelope next year. Is that a great opportunity to go? Okay, so we're our second week into our new series, which we've called The Scandal of Grace. And what we did last week was we looked at the beginning of what, and what we're doing in this series is we're looking at what does spirituality look like for messed up people, which, by the way, is you and I. And what we talked about last week was that it all begins with a deep, raw honesty with God. That's the beginning of spirituality. And what I want to do this week is I want to continue, but I want to go a little different direction. I want us to look at what it means to experience spirituality as messed up people by looking at the life of one messed up leader of the early church. His name is Peter, the Apostle Peter. He was called as a disciple, became one of the key leaders. Peter is mentioned over 150 times in the New Testament. He was a significant part of what God was doing to establish his church, and yet he's got so many issues, and that provides for us a really great picture of that. So we're going to look at a number of scriptures. They're all going to relate to Peter. So take your Bibles and open to Galatians chapter 2. Take one of the Bibles in the seats in front of you, page 811 in the Bibles that are in the seat in front of you, Galatians chapter 2, and here's where we're going to start with Peter. The Apostle Paul has to confront this messed up man, Peter. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, when Cephas came to Antioch, Antioch was a non-Jewish city. It was more of a Gentile city, non-Jews. He said, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Whoa. Here's two apostles, and one has to confront the other, rebuke him. Why was that? Well, the story, and it's all laid out there in the second chapter, was that when Peter first came to visit these new Christians who were not Jews, he met with them, he ate with them, he connected with them, he fellowshipped with them. And then some Jews came from Jerusalem, and now he starts acting differently. He doesn't connect with the non-Jews, he connects with the Jews and sort of neglects the others, and the Apostle Paul has to confront him. He has to confront Peter over a racial hypocrisy. That's big stuff. Here's a key leader of the church, and he's acting absolutely inappropriate. And so here's the question to start off with is, what are we going to learn from a guy like this who's obviously got some problems? Well, what we're going to learn is that our whole spiritual life is all about grace. So I've called this the scandal of grace. But we're also going to learn some principles here, because not only is our spirituality dependent on God's grace, because we will mess up, but also what we're going to see in Peter is there's a pattern here that helps us see how to live out this thing called spirituality. But first, let's define spirituality. Spirituality is a process. It's a process that is never perfect, at times chaotic, it's incomplete, it's just like the streets of Tucson. Always under construction, never really fixed, the potholes keep showing up, I will tell you the places where I drive here to the church building every day where the same potholes keep showing up. They fix them, they show up. They fix them, they show up. That's kind of a picture of our life. Spirituality is following Jesus to the best of our ability right now. It's not about getting it right every time. It's about this process of trying to follow Jesus to the best of our ability, allowing him to guide us, allowing him to influence our decisions, allowing him to shape who we are, influenced by Jesus while we're still a mess. And we are. We're still this mess. In fact, we actually invite Jesus to mess up our messes, to transform us and remake us and reshape us, and that over time, we actually become more like Jesus. Now, spirituality is not linear. Let me explain it this way. So, I'll put a cross here. This represents becoming like Jesus. And at some point, our spiritual journey begins, and this is what we think spirituality should be like, this nice straight line. You know, there's five steps along this. You know, you do step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, and we just move right towards there. This is not reality. Here's what spirituality really looks like. We're still trying to become like Jesus. But we take a step forward, and then we take a step back, and then two steps forward, and one and a half steps back, and it's like this, right? It's chaotic, it's messy, it's not clean. That's what spirituality is like, and that's what we're going to see in the Apostle Peter. This, it's not straight like this. It's messy, it's messed up, because we are messed up people. But there's movement towards becoming like Jesus. So let's begin. Let's right begin right where Peter begins. We'll start. So this one's going to represent Peter. Here's Peter's line. He's moving towards Christ likeness. All right. And we find it first. Take your Bibles now and turn to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, we find that Jesus is by Peter's hometown. Peter's hometown is in an area on the Sea of Galilee, and Peter had just finished his day of fishing, and he's cleaning up the nets, and he's getting everything ready, you know, done for the day, and Jesus is teaching, and a crowd begins to form there on the seashore, and the crowd gets so big, it's kind of pushing Jesus into the sea. So he says to Peter, "Let me get in your boat." And he sits in Peter's boat, and he teaches this crowd, which continues to grow. And as he finishes his teaching, maybe now it's dark, I don't know, but he's finishing up. He says to Peter, he says, "Let's go fishing." And Peter goes, "Oh man, I fished all day long. I didn't catch anything. Are you kidding me?" "If you insist." You know, I mean, he's putting on the nonverbals. You can't read that in the scripture, but he is not pleased about going out fishing again after he's cleaned everything up and had a horrible day. And so they go out, they go into deeper water, they put out the nets, and they catch so many fish, they almost sink the boat. And then look what Peter says in verse 8, Luke chapter 5, verse 8, on page 719 in the Bibles in front of you. "When Simon Peter saw this," when he saw all the fish, "he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man.'" Peter is modeling the very thing we talked about last week. Where does spirituality begin? It begins with that raw honesty about who we are, that we are messed up. You see, Peter was incensed in a way by Jesus' request to go fishing. He doesn't really buy who Jesus is yet. And then he realizes when they're on that boat with that huge catch of fish that he is standing with somebody who is truly great. And he recognizes how far he is from anything of greatness. And he gets on his knees and he says, I'm not worthy to be around you. I'm a sinful man. And that's the beginning of Peter's journey. Because see, he makes a decision at that point to start following Jesus. He takes a step forward and he's going to begin to follow Jesus. Now, honestly, he's got a lot to learn in this process, but he's beginning. And then turn to Matt, go back to now the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14, the next story that we're going to look at, page 685 in the Bibles in front of you, Matthew chapter 14. Okay, we're back on the lake. Peter's been with Jesus a while. He's listened to Jesus teach. He's seen Jesus do some miracles. And now Jesus sends them across the lake on their own. He's going to take some time to pray by himself. And the disciples get out on the lake. Now, several of these disciples are experienced fishermen. They get out on the lake and the winds come up and the waves and Sea of Galilee's not really huge, but I can tell you just even from the lakes here in Arizona that when those monsoon winds come up, those waves get really big and it can be really scary. That's exactly what happened to the disciples. This storm comes up, the waves are just huge, the wind's blowing, and they're getting pretty concerned because they know what this is like. And then while they're trying to deal with this, trying to keep the boat with its front end into the waves so it won't swamp, they see this person and they think it's a ghost. And they think not only are we dealing now with this storm, we got a ghost we got to deal with. And Jesus says, he sees that they're afraid. He says, hey, it's me. It's Jesus. You don't need to be afraid. Just relax. Trust me. And then Peter does something really interesting there. He recognizes that it's Jesus because Jesus said, I'm Jesus. Here, I'm here. Look at what he does in verse 28, the bottom of the page there. Lord, if it's you, Jesus replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Frankly, that's pretty brave. I don't know about you, but I'm going to give him a line forward on that one. Okay? Okay, if that's you, let me come out there and walk out there. And so Peter heads out, and he starts walking on the water, and then all of a sudden, he sees the waves just whipping up, and he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he looks at the waves, focuses on the storm, and he begins to sink. And what does he do? Lord, save me! Which the Lord saves him. Okay, so now we're going to give him a step back. He took his eyes off Jesus. He didn't really trust Jesus to the level and the depth that he should have, that he could have. He let his focus on this physical world, the normal stuff of life, to distract him from his absolute trust in Jesus. And then we come to another situation just a little bit later in Matthew chapter 16. So just turn back a couple chapters, page 687. Jesus was talking with his disciples. They were having a conversation, and Jesus asked his disciples, what are people saying about me? Who do they think I am? And the disciples are having a conversation. They identify some of the things that people think about him. And then Jesus gets to the question he really wants to ask. He says, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Peter gets it right. That's a big step forward. He's gone from questioning and doubting to now making a bold, clear statement of belief. He knows that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus commends him for that. And then Jesus begins to tell them the crux of why he came. This is right in the middle of this book. It is in many ways a climax. Jesus says, I have come that they might kill me, and that on the third day, I will rise from the dead. He's actually declared what we call the gospel. The gospel means good news. Jesus is saying, I came to bring good news. I'm going to die for the sins of people, that their sins might be forgiven, to offer grace. And not only that, I'm not just going to die. God's going to raise me from the dead after being dead 3 days. He's going to raise me. I'm going to come back to life. I'm going to conquer the greatest enemy that we've ever experienced, death itself. That's good news. Well, Peter hears that and goes, no, that's not how it's going to work. Take a look at what he does there. In chapter 16, verse 22, Peter took him aside, Jesus, and began to rebuke him. Okay, he's just gone. We gave him a big two steps forward, saying that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and now he's rebuking Jesus. Ah, we're going to give him some steps back. He's rebuking Jesus. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. You see, what's going on in Peter is that Peter's figuring out that Jesus is a big deal. He's the Messiah. And his view is that it's a human view. It's a view that makes sense to him as a human being, that this Messiah is going to march into Jerusalem. He's going to create a rebellion. They're going to overthrow the Romans, and they're going to establish a kingdom on earth. But Jesus' purpose is far bigger than that. And what Peter is saying is actually a kind of temptation to Jesus. But Jesus recognized, and he says, Peter, you're allowing the evil one, Satan himself, to try to distract me from what God actually wants us to do. And we're just like Peter. We're just like Peter. We make some steps forward, and then we take some steps backwards. We have in mind what we think is right, what we think is logical, what we think's the better way, but not realizing that God has even a better way for us. And then we come to the last day that Peter and Jesus are together. This is found in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, page 751. What happens in John chapter 13, this is the day before Jesus is arrested. It's the day before Jesus is killed. And Jesus is again preparing them for this. And in John 13, look what Peter says as he's kind of processing this. Peter said, Lord, I don't get why I can't do what you're going to do. But then he says this in verse 37. He says, I will lay down my life for you. All right, that's a step forward. Okay, we're doing better now. I will lay my life down for you, Jesus. And then Jesus says, really? Before morning, before that rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And that's exactly what Peter does. Before morning, after Jesus is arrested, he denies Jesus three times. Jesus is arrested, he's killed, he rose from the dead just as he said. And then imagine what the conversation would be like between Peter and Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead, after Peter denied him three times. Imagine what that conversation would be like when they meet up and have a real conversation. See, we already get a glimpse of what's going on because by this point, Peter is kind of lost. He's denied Jesus. He's not really getting still what all that Jesus said would happen. And he goes back to his old job. That's what we do sometimes when we get frustrated. We'll just go back to what we know. He goes back to fishing. And then Jesus encounters them. And I think their encounter could have gone something like this. Take a look.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, his crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive. I can't believe you're alive. Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, it is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you. Yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it. All right. Okay. Good.
Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter,
yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there and I'm looking in that tomb and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, the angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is.
He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter. Yeah.
That video is based on John chapter 21, found on page 757. Jesus asks the question. He asked the question three times. Do you love me? And we know why he asked that question three times, just as Peter denied Jesus three times. He gives Peter the opportunity. He offers grace. He gives Peter the chance to say three times, I love you. What he did is he did a reset. This past week, I've had two occasions where I've had this stupid electronic stuff where I had to push the reset button. You know what a reset button does? It puts everything back to the original defaults before you messed it up. It's exactly what Jesus did. He gave Peter a reset button to restore the relationship the way Jesus had always desired it and intended it. That's grace. Because Peter did a lot of messing up. But in this conversation, in John chapter 21, Peter says, I love you. I love you. And Jesus calls us back to that. As we mess up, as we take steps back, we always come back to this place where he says, you know what, I messed up, but I really do love you, Jesus. And so Jesus said three times to Peter, okay, let's get back on track. I need you to lead my people. I need you to be a leader of this thing that we're calling the church that's now ready to begin. I need you to step up and lead. Now, Jesus remembered what Peter had said. He remembered what Peter said when he had to also tell Peter that he was going to deny him three times. Remember, Peter said, I will lay my life down for you. And now Jesus, in this conversation in John 21, says, Peter, I've taken care of your past. You are forgiven. You denied me, it's past. We're good. Now let me tell you how it's going to happen in the future. You said you would lay your life down for me. That's exactly what you will do. Jesus said, there's going to come a day when you're going to stretch out your hands, not because you want to, but because you are required to, and they will kill you. He tells Peter that he, in fact, will lay down his life for Jesus. He will die as a martyr because of persecution. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not sure I want to know how I'm going to die. It happened a lot of years later. Peter was at least 65 years old, maybe older. But here's what Jesus has done. I've taken care of your past. All of your messes, forgiven. Grace, I'm giving you. You're going to be faithful to the end. Just like you promised me, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to die being faithful to me, doing what I've asked you to do, and you're going to die in the honor of being a martyr. And that only leaves one thing. What's that? Right now. The only thing left is right now. And I want you to see what Jesus says after he's taken care of his past, after he's talked about what will happen in the future. In verse 19, then the very last sentence of that, he says, then he said to him, follow me. That's spirituality. Right now, you have one focus right now. Follow me. Jesus' words were translated into Greek and then translated into English. In the Greek, that verb is a continuous tense verb. So literally, we could translate that, keep on following me. Moment by moment, day after day, follow me. Let that be your focus. And that's Peter's journey. Steps forward, steps back, but there came opportunities day after day for him to choose to follow Jesus in the moment. Spirituality is a journey. And that journey is the sum of all the right decisions we make. It's the sum of all the steps that we made to move forward to follow Jesus, to allow him to lead our lives, for him to influence us, for him to shape our decisions, for him to shape our character and how we live our lives. Every day we have an opportunity to step forward or step back. And even when we step back, because of grace, we're given a reset button to I can now choose not to keep stepping back, but I can choose to step forward. Spirituality is never easy, but it's not complicated. It's summarized in two words. Follow me. Present tense. Follow me right now. It's simple. We follow Jesus to the best of our ability right now. And that in every way, that was Peter's journey, that's our journey, and that's my main point. And let me put my main point in two questions. Here's what spirituality is. What's your next step? What's your next step? What do I need to do? What's your next right decision? not complicated. What do I need to do right now? Not weeks from now, not years from now, not focusing on what I've done or haven't done. What do I need to do right now? What's my next step? What's my next right decision that will help me follow Jesus better than I have been following him? What's your next step? What's your next right decision? Some of you already know that. You maybe have been wrestling with it for a while, maybe for weeks. Maybe it's a habit that you know you have to break, and you've got to come clean and honest about something you've been involved in that's just messing you up. Or maybe it's a habit that you need to put into your life that'll help you. You need to be consistently in God's Word. We have a Bible reading plan that you need to be a part of that Bible reading plan. That you need to be connecting with people. You need to be a part of a small group. You need to get involved in some way. You need to take, God may already be convicting you of what that next step is. Maybe it's a relationship that you need to end because you know that relationship is damaging your relationship with God. If you know what the next step is, you trust Jesus and take the step and you move forward. I'm going to ask our servers if you'd prepare for our communion and offering. And while they're doing that, I want to talk to maybe a different group of us. Maybe we don't know what that next step is, and that's very real. There are times that we're not sure what the next right decision is that would move us towards Jesus, to become more like Jesus. And maybe you're just stuck. You know, you've been coming for a while. You've been sitting, but you're not really moving. And what's our next step? And we've tried to create a number of tools and resources to help you take a next step. Let me remind you of one. We began this 11 months ago. Some of you weren't here 11 months ago. I know, I'll explain it. But 11 months ago, I challenged us to choose one word that we would focus on this year, that we would prayerfully choose, and then we would pray about saying, God, help me to become this word, or maybe this word represents a habit that would become a part of our life. Maybe it would be a character quality. Maybe it would be something we would stop doing. My word, my one word was generous. I made a commitment to God this year that I would learn to be more generous financially, with my time, with my attention, with my love. And every day, God gives me an opportunity to take another step. One step at a time. Last week I had an opportunity. I was talking to somebody and I had God's Holy Spirit said, give this person a gift. And I go, no! That's still my first reaction. But because of the one word, I made the decision to take another step in generosity. I don't know how God will use it. That's not my job to figure out how God will do it. I just did what I knew I needed to do, one step. And so I want to encourage you, if you had chosen already your one word for this year, that might be the tool that God wants to use to help you know what your next step is. And if you're new and haven't done the one word, prayerfully choose a word that you'll focus on and let that help guide you what your next steps are each day as you think about it, as you pray about it. There's some folks here that have never even made the decision to begin the spiritual journey. It has to start somewhere. And where it starts is with a decision. Some point, all of us have to make a decision. I want to follow Jesus. And the way that Jesus and the way that the Bible describes that we begin this journey is we make a commitment to follow Jesus, and we make that commitment in baptism. In baptism, we just simply make a promise. I promise. I will follow Jesus. I will follow the way of Jesus to the best of my ability. And then we begin the journey. It's messy, it's chaotic, It's not straight, it's not linear, but we begin to move towards Jesus, a step at a time, a day at a time. In the last 4 months, 125 people here have made that commitment in baptism to begin following Jesus. There's going to be some folks today that are going to make that decision. And if you are ready to make that, to begin this journey, come on over to Connecting Place after our service and we'd be glad to talk with you, or call us at the church office. We'll be glad to answer any of your questions. But that might be your next step. Or maybe, again, you felt stuck. You're not sure where your next step is. You've already made the decision to follow Jesus. You've been following him. But you're not sure what's next. We've designed a group called Starting Point. A new Starting Point starts about every couple weeks on Sunday mornings, once in a while on Saturday nights. They meet for 6 weeks. And the leaders are trained. They get to know you. They get to help introduce you to all the tools and resources that we have available here, and then help you take that next step, whatever that next step is for you, wherever you're at in your unique spiritual journey. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of Starting Point. You can find out more on our newly designed website. You want to go online and see how we've designed it. It's a great new website. You can find out about Starting Point. You can actually sign up. You can find out when the next one is, what time, where it's at, everything there. Or come over to Connecting Place and we'll be glad to help you with that. Or maybe you need to be a part of a group. You know, I can't do this thing alone. Or I need to get involved. That's my next step. That's why we have Next Step. It's a room right off the courtyard. Connecting Place is right off the courtyard. Just right next to it is Next Step. And there's folks there that can help you do that. You need to ask God, God, what do I need to do to take a next step? But you got to decide to take a next step. I guarantee you, if you stay still very long, you tend to move back. Take a step forward in trust. Just like those folks who took the red card, the red envelope challenge and said, go to Rocky Point. And they said, okay. And a whole family did that and made a commitment to follow Jesus at Rocky Point. Take the next step, whatever that next step is. In a moment, we're going to take communion. If you're new here, and at some point you made a decision to follow Jesus, we invite you to participate. What we do in communion is we remember the grace of Jesus. The servers will pass a communion tray, take the cup of juice, the piece of bread. Those are symbols of the sacrifice of Jesus, that by his death, his broken body, his shed blood, he bought for us forgiveness of sins and offers us grace. And during this time, as we remember his grace, we don't look backwards. We don't look forward. We focus on right now. Ask yourself those questions. What's my next step towards Jesus? What's the next right decision that I need to make? Make that commitment during our time of communion. After communion, we take an offering. And the same principle applies to our giving. What's my next step in giving? What's the next right decision I need to make when it comes to giving to God, to putting him first in my life? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us and forgiving us as messed up people who make mistakes, just like the Apostle Peter, who put our will ahead of your will, who get distracted and afraid and doubt you, who have good intentions, but then when the pressure comes, we bail. Thank you for loving us through all of that. And for just offering us the reset button. And God, help us now in this moment, through the power of your Holy Spirit speaking into our souls, help us to make that next step, make that next right decision. that will lead us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.